Yo, yo, yo. Thanks for listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Upgrade to a new Chevrolet with new safety and technology features, lower maintenance for the same or better payment, only at Lakewood Chev. Click on the icon right here on the website. Edmonton Oilers, now four games remaining. Kings tonight. Mm-hmm. They have not won in LA in 10 games. Eberle did win once in his career. Nugent Hopkins never has won yet in his career in Los Angeles, funny enough. But they've broken a lot of other streaks. When you look at McDavid and Draisaitl, 100 points, 80 points. Right now, no team has been able to handle him at the most important time of the season. Any reason to think that's going to change in the next few weeks?
Well, I mean, I think at playoff time, everything kind of tightens up a little bit. So, I mean, it'll get tougher for them. But at the same time, it was supposed to get tougher for them down the stretch drive here, and they've gotten better. So it's going to take a world-class defenseman or a world-class shutdown line or center to handle those guys and have a chance to play those guys close to even. They're playing all world right now. So, I mean, the Kings, Drew Doughty on any given night can do a pretty blanket job on anybody. But no, I mean, there's not a duo in the game going quite like these guys. And, excuse me, and I don't know who shuts him down. I don't know how I can't help but think that if you're another playoff team in the Western Conference, you're watching what these guys are doing and going, I'd probably be okay if our team didn't have to face them in the first round. I think they're that team that maybe other groups feel can surprise somebody big time.
Do you think there's enough there if Connor McDavid were to get shut down by anyone, the secondary scoring could take over from someone else?
Well, that's just it, right? That's where the opponent comes in. That's where it becomes so critical. Who is it going to be? And what's that going to look like? Who's the next layer? You know, as Jason outlined in his article at Oilers Nation there a few days ago, overall as a team, the scoring beyond Draisaitl and Nugent Hopkins, or Draisaitl and McDavid, hasn't been all that bad. But when we talk about secondary scoring, I mean, let's face it, we're asking, can Jordan Eberle and Ryan Nugent Hopkins produce? That's what I think it boils down to. And so it comes down to those matchups, right? Anaheim, not a great matchup for them. They have to stare down the barrel of Ryan Getzlaff if they get Kessler against McDavid all the time. You know, the Minnesota Wild, they bulked up through the middle. Don't know how great a matchup that is. The Calgary Flames, on the other hand, that's a team that, you know, Backlund is a real good center. Monahan's a real good center, but he's young. Bennett, young center. So I like their chances depending on the matchup. Because if it's too tough a matchup, then things really tighten up on them. I think Calgary is a good matchup for them.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Even San Jose with the Thornton injury, Couture likely coming back from his face. I don't know if you read the story on his teeth and how many he's likely going to have to lose and all the stuff that he had put in his mouth afterwards.
How many?
Man, that sounds brutal. Well, they talked about he might have to, like they said, multiple are going to be replaced in the summertime.
Oh, yeah. That's grisly. Yeah. Did you ever lose any appreciable number of teeth at once?
I did not. My two-year-old lost three before her second birthday, though.
I feel like that's not quite the same.
No, I was lucky.
It's going to be more.
I think I counted. I had well over 200 stitches in my face over my career, and I didn't. I chipped a tooth once, and that was it.
Really?
That was it. I was lucky.
That's interesting. Huh. You'd think that with all the stuff going on around your face, pucks and fists, that you would have chipped a few more up.
Yeah, I did okay. I tried to avoid getting hit in the nose and mouth region.
Did you go full mouth guard every game, or did?
Yeah,
you
I always wore one.
Yeah.
I didn't understand guys who didn't like the ones
a lot
you can
of guys
get.
Don't. Hey?
Yeah, but you can get mouth guards now that are made really, really well. Like I understand some of the old ones were so bulky, but the new ones you can get that are. They're effective and they fit really comfortably. So I never understood guys that didn't wear them.
Hmm.
Well, hey, you have a big mouth guard. It makes smart sense. I've never understood why a lot of guys don't wear it. It's kind of lunacy in my opinion. But hey, some people don't wear a visor in men's league, myself included. So I guess, you know, everybody does stupid things. The Oilers' defense, the Greiba Benning rotation, and I've looked at it, and Benning, of course, missed the two games after taking that shot against Anaheim, but it's been pretty split down the middle. Do you think come playoff time that changes?
Again, I think it will be somewhat matchup related. I think that depending on the type of group they're facing. So this is the thing to me about Eric Greiba. When Greiba is bad, he's really bad. When Benning is bad, I don't think his game falls as far. But Greiba probably has been more consistent of the two. I think Benning, remember Benning, he got his nose messed up there? That I think he took a hit or somebody threw, I think Clefbaum or somebody threw a player into Benning and smashed his face. I was watching practice the other day, and Benning had gauze up his nose still. I feel like something happened with his nose that was no good, and he's had a hard time recovering from it. And the consistency that he had midseason hasn't been there as often here late in the season. So I think it's matchup dependent, but I would think they might lean towards Greiba if he finishes strong in his last game or two. Go with the veteran, then work Benning in if you need to. I don't know. I mean, what do you guys think? Is there... They're different styles, but not a huge different consistency-wise.
I think you could count on one hand the amount of poor performances Greiba has had this year, if that, even. Like, there hasn't been very many. He is very, very consistent. And Benning has been great for what he's been asked to do. I think we saw him get into a little bit of trouble when his minutes went up significantly. Yeah. So I would start with Greiba, but I agree with you. It's matchup-dependent. You know, if you're playing a team like Anaheim, I think you want to go with a Greiba. If you're playing maybe like a Calgary team that's not going to be as physical, but it's going to be really quick, then maybe you look at a Benning.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's based a little bit on that. And also will be based on how a player looks like, you know, Benning's a rookie, you know, the playoffs, it's a bigger stage, you know, everything's different. You know, do you maybe have the rookie sit out the first game, go with the veteran, or do you just throw the rookie in so he doesn't overthink it rather than wait 72 hours extra until he gets in a game? Lots of stuff, I'm sure, that will go into play.
Did you guys hear, Todd had a really interesting comment last week about, I can't remember if it was your question or not, Jason, but he was asked about Benning versus Greiba and kind of the decision and how he makes. He was singing the praises of Greiba a little bit. And one of the things he said is he might be their best defenseman at breaking the puck out from below the goal line. So when he has the puck on his stick and a play to make down below the goal line, and I wonder if this is an analytic that they keep themselves, that when a defenseman has the puck below the goal line, who has it next, right? That would be an interesting stat for a coach to know. And so I wonder if they keep that stat. He said Greiba was one of the best they had at getting pucks out from below when he has possession below their goal line.
Well, it's consistent first pass. I've said that since he's been here, is that that's what he does, is he doesn't play outside his means or try to force anything. He takes a simple play that's given him. And a lot of times for a defenseman, especially one that's playing a simple game, that's perfect. And so it wouldn't surprise me at all if they chart that.
He's not afraid to go off the glass and out either, right? So.
Yeah. The glass is your friend.
Yeah.
Oh, nothing wrong with that at a time. The safe play can be the good
made
play.
Made a career out of that.
And that in 4 minute shifts. I love it. I love it. Quickly. Reading all of the stories today, different players, the European players, maybe outside of Vlasic, much more saying, hey, I really want to go. This is crap. We want to go. And then there's lots of stories of how the NHL likely is going to put something wording in place that doesn't allow teams to let anybody go. Doesn't sound like this is going to necessarily end well.
Well, the interesting one has always been and will continue to be Ovechkin. I mean, his comments today, he was basically like, well, I don't really care what anybody else has said about anything. I'm going to the Olympics. Like, I'm going. I don't really care. Like, he's just so meh about the whole thing, right? So when you have a marquee star like that making his intentions so clear, and you have an owner who is actually, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but has Leonis just not come out and said that he would support Alex if he wanted to go?
Leona said that for sure. He said he's basically partners, and then he listed off, you know, Nick Backstrom and some other players who have expressed interest to go.
Right. So, I mean, these players are basically in breach of their contract if they go to the Olympics without permission. Now, what the NHL can do, I mean, listen, Bill, like the combination of Bill Daly and Gary Bettman, you guys, is pretty, like those guys get things done. They have had a lot of wins, those guys, as a duo. The ownership group en masse, I think, are pretty overall pleased with the job Gary Bettman has done. And he hasn't been perfect, but the way he has handled some stoppages, the way he handles, he generally comes out on a pretty healthy side of a negotiation. So those guys, if there's a way, they'll figure it out to block guys from going, to sort of make their intentions clear. It'll be very interesting if marquee stars continue to just say they're going, and what happens if the NHL steps in and says you absolutely cannot.
That will be interesting. I mean, it could cause some serious problems if you have all the stars all of a sudden really making an issue out of it, because that's,
yeah,
when we look at the lockouts as well, that's who ultimately the decision callers are, even behind the scenes with the NHLPA, or the stars. And it's a league that needs to, we criticize them all the time. They need to cater to their stars more, because that's who people want to go watch. So the second you upset all of them, that it could make some interesting fireworks happen.
And it will deprive everybody of seeing McDavid and Crosby playing on a team together, possibly for the first time. That would have been pretty cool.
Yeah, to me, honestly, it doesn't make sense. I think it's dumb, for lack of a better word. But yeah.
Well, we got into it at nauseam at length yesterday, and we don't have time today. I get where the owners are coming from. I get that they don't want to put their assets in jeopardy.
Yeah, but they've done it before for the last five times.
It's such a growth thing for the game in terms of global exposure. Like you said, like, who doesn't want to see, as an NHL fan, Crosby and McDavid play together?
Right, but you're not thinking like a billion-dollar owner who, if Connor McDavid gets hurt in March and the owners miss the playoffs, that could be seven home playoff dates that is out of Darryl Gates' pocket. So he's letting his most valuable assets go for nothing. And yes, you want to grow the game, but the Olympics, by nature, they're so tight with their rights and their video rights. And the NHL isn't even allowed to hang a logo in the building. So they need to realize they're dealing with big business and billionaires. And they're going to have to play ball a little bit if they want the NHL players to continue being the marquee event at their games. They're going to have to play ball.
I guess my question to that is, then, why is this time different compared to 14, 10, 6, 2, 98?
Well, I mean, 10, obviously, to have the games where they were. 14, Sochi.
But the risk, right? The risk, the time exchange in 06 and 98 and that stuff is still not ideal, right? So to me, the risk was always the same, regardless of whether you played in Canada or not, right? The risk of Crosby getting hurt.
They've never liked it, but they've been willing to do it. But they're only willing to do it for so long, until they look at it and go, okay, this has been a boondoggle for the Olympics. It's been incredible for them. And the owners want some more back in return, especially for Korea, because what time are the games even going to be on? And what's that going to look like day to day? How is that going to grow the game in ways that, you know, it desperately needs when the games are in Korea?
Well, it's 15 and a half hours different. From what I understand. So I don't know if that's, if they play at 7 o'clock there, then that's like 11 in the morning here. So the night games actually wouldn't be that bad, right?
Yeah.
Played afternoon games wouldn't be terrible. But yeah, I think there's lots more to it. There's no doubt. To me, the risk is no different this year than others. And so that's why they just come down to, they want more money for it. And that's fine. But I don't think suddenly the risk is now more in 18 than it was in 14, 10 or the other years.
They don't want more money for it. I mean, they want something. I mean, there's no money that's been coming to them. That's not, they've been letting their players go play with basically nothing in return. Now, yes, they're growing the game, but the owners, I think, were only going to be happy letting that happen for so long. There was going to come a time where they were going to dig in and take a stand. And to me, the IOC needs to understand who it's playing ball with. It's not the same as other amateur sports all over the place and all these different other sports. This is a professional league. When you invite a professional league in, you're dealing with professional athletes and billionaire owners, and the equation changes, and they need to be willing to play ball so that it sweetens the pot a little bit, so that the owners feel better about putting their assets at risk. I don't think they're being that unreasonable.
But what about, like, you could look at to say the same thing about the NBA and basketball. And to me, it's like the global exposure for this thing and the amount that people will watch from North America. So the market you are sitting in is just, it's incredibly high. I just, the exposure to me vastly outweighs the negative side of it.
But Gary Bettman answers to 31 owners now, right?
Well, he doesn't actually answer to 31. He answers to about 8.
Wow. Okay. But you understand my point is that each one of those owners is being asked to put their assets in the line of fire and at risk. And they're wanting to know what they're getting in return. Why? Well, it grows the game. Okay. Well, they've been to the last bunch of Olympics and the games are in Korea this time around. I think they're hungry for a better deal, and I don't think they're being that unreasonable. I mean, you can't even, like, the NHL isn't allowed to put Sidney Crosby's golden goal on their website. They can't put it in an advertisement. They can't put it in an inspirational commercial. They can't do anything with it. Any moment that's ever happened in the Olympics, it's unusable. So how is the NHL, other than when the Olympics are on, there's no benefit to them to any of these moments that have ever happened. They can't use it to perpetuate the game at all.
Sharker, we got to go. We're late. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, guys.